Will you open with me to 2 Kings? It might say, does it say Isaiah in the... Sorry about that. 2 Kings chapter 18. The passage that we're going to look at is found in three different places in the Scripture. It's found in 2 Kings chapters 18 and 19. It's found in 2 Chronicles chapters 29 through 32. And it's found in Isaiah chapters 36 and 37. This is the only passage in Scripture that I know of that's in three different books. Now, in the passage in 2 Kings and Isaiah, they're very, very close to the same. 2 Chronicles gives you a little more information, so it takes a little bit more, about four chapters to talk about it. But again, I want to give you a background on how we got here. We, at the beginning of the year, started in Genesis, and we've been going through the Old Testament, looking at this great Almighty God who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is over all the earth. And so I want to remind you of how we got to this place. We're not going to go all the way back to Genesis, but if you remember, God called a people to himself, and that people is called Israel, and they were set apart for God's glory. And they were supposed to allow God to shine through them in the way that they lived, in the way that their lives were focused on him, so that the rest of the world would know this great and mighty God. Unfortunately, they did not follow God in this way, and many times he had to send discipline upon them. And as we'll find today, that the northern kingdom he actually takes away. So, as far as the kingdom goes, go to the first slide. King David came after King Saul, and then David's son Solomon came after him. And so during that time period, about 120 years, the kingdom of Israel was united under a single king, and that monarch, hopefully, was leading the people to worship the Lord. After Solomon, though, the kingdom was split in two. Because of Solomon's sin, God said, I will take away 10 of the tribes and leave Solomon's line, the line of David, with two tribes, and will always have someone before my throne from that line of David. Now, after the death of Solomon, the nation of Israel split into two separate nations, a northern nation of Israel, which was the 10 tribes, and they had their capital in Samaria. And this northern kingdom of Israel was led by 19 wicked kings. By wicked, what the scripture means is they did not fear God. They did not follow God. They worshipped foreign gods. And in many cases, they even sacrificed their own children to these foreign gods. So God, after 250 years, said enough's enough and sent the Assyrians to take them away. Now, the southern kingdom was known as Judah. And altogether, there were 19 kings as well and one queen, a wicked, wicked woman. But of the kings, 8 of them were godly kings that brought the nation of Israel back to the Lord. And we're going to talk about Hezekiah today, one of the most godly kings of all. After 500 years, the Babylonians came and took away the southern kingdom. Now, the prophets, if you read through the scripture and you see in the Old Testament, you have a lot of prophets. You have Isaiah, you have Jeremiah, and some others who were prophets to the southern kingdom during this time period. Some of them were prophets to the northern kingdom of Israel, but the prophets Isaiah, Micah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Habakkuk all were to the southern kingdom of Judah, to give you some framework. And so this passage we're about to look at is about during King Hezekiah's reign. And so we see it in 2 Kings. We also see it in 2 Chronicles, two books that talk about the nation of Israel and how God was leading them. And then also the prophet Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, we find the same passage because Isaiah was a prophet during the time of Hezekiah. Okay, so all that background, will you stand with me as we honor God through the reading of his word? We're going to be in 2 Kings. We're going to look at chapter 18, the first 13 verses, and then we're going to jump over to chapter 19 and pick up in there. In the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that's the northern kingdom of Israel, Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. He removed the high places, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. He broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made, for up to that time the Israelites had been burning incense to it. It was called Nehushtan. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord and did not cease to follow him. He kept the commands of the Lord had given Moses, and the Lord was with him. He was successful in whatever he undertook. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. From watchtower to fortified city, he defeated the Philistines as far as Gaza and its territory. In King Hezekiah's fourth year, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, marched against Samaria and laid siege to it. At the end of 3 years, the Assyrians took it. So Samaria was captured in Hezekiah's sixth year, which was the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel. The king of Assyria deported Israel to Assyria and settled them in Hala, in Gozan, on the Harbor River, and in the towns of the Medes. This happened because they had not obeyed the Lord their God, but had violated his covenant, all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded. They neither listened to the commands nor carried them out. In the 14th year of King Hezekiah's reign, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, attacked all the fortified cities of Judah and captured them. Go to chapter 19 with me and pick up here in verse 9. Now Sennacherib received a report that Tirhakah the Cushite, king of Egypt, was marching out to fight against him. So he again sent messengers to Hezekiah with this word, "Say to Hezekiah, king of Judah, do not let the God you depend on deceive you when he says Jerusalem will not be handed over to the king of Assyria. Surely you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the countries, destroying them completely. And will you be delivered? Did the gods of the nations that were destroyed by my forefathers deliver them, the gods of Gozan, Haran, Resev, and the people of Eden who were in Tel Assar? Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, the king of the city of Sepharvaim, or of Hena or Iva?" Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it. Then he went up to the temple of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, "O Lord, God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Give ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Listen to the words of Sennacherib has sent to insult the living God. It is true, O Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste these nations and their lands. They have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them, for they were not gods, but only wood and stone, fashioned by men's hands. Now, O Lord, our God, deliver us from his hand, so that all kingdoms of earth may know that you alone, O Lord, are God." Then Isaiah, son of Amos, sent a message to Hezekiah. "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I've heard your prayer concerning Sennacherib, king of Assyria. This is the word that the Lord has spoken against him. The virgin daughter of Zion despises you and mocks you. The daughter of Jerusalem tosses her head as you flee. Who is it that you have insulted and blasphemed? Against whom have you raised your voice and lifted your eyes in pride? Against the Holy One of Israel. By your messengers you have heaped insults on the Lord. And you have said, with many chariots I have ascended the heights of the mountains, the utmost heights of Lebanon. I have cut down its tallest cedars, the choicest of its pines. I have reached its remotest parts, the finest of its forest. I have dug wells in foreign lands and drunk the water there. With the soles of my feet, I have dried up all the streams of Egypt. Have you not heard? Long ago I ordained it. In days of old I planned it. Now I have brought it to pass that you have turned fortified cities into piles of stone. Drop down to verse 32. Therefore, this is what the Lord says concerning the king of Assyria. He will not enter this city or shoot an arrow here. He will not come before it with shield or build a siege ramp against it. By the way that he came, he will return. He will not enter this city, declares the Lord. I will defend this city and save it for my sake and for the sake of David, my servant. That night, the angel of the Lord, went out and put to death 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp. When the people got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp and withdrew. He returned to Nineveh and stayed there. One day, while he was worshiping in the temple of his god, Nisroch, his sons Adramelech and Sharezar cut him down with the sword, and they escaped to the land of Ararat, and Esarhaddon, his son, succeeded him as king. Let's pray. Lord, I pray today that you would convince us through your scripture. Convict us, Lord, through your scripture, that you are truly the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that there is no other that can speak something into being without your approval. Lord, you are a great and mighty God. We praise you today and pray that we would be brought to a deeper place of worship. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Will you please be seated? Will you turn it down just a little bit, maybe? This morning, this is a very large passage, and if you didn't catch all that was going on, understand this, that the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom weren't always friendly together, and the northern kingdom of Israel always sinned against the Lord, and the Lord, after 250 years, sent the Assyrians to take over the northern kingdom, and they just destroyed it. They took all of the people that were in the northern kingdom, and they sent them to other lands. That's why we have no record of what happened to them. They all got interspersed with the other nations. They also brought people from the other nations and brought them into Samaria. And then in the New Testament, when you read about the Samaritans, you find they were a mixed breed. That was because all the nations mixed in. Judah was still standing there under Hezekiah. He was the king when all this happened to the northern kingdom. Hezekiah was a godly man that was leading the southern kingdom of Judah to follow the Lord. And then he has this threat of the Assyrians after they took over the northern kingdom that they would come south and continue to take over the kingdom of Judah. And what we find through this passage is that the southern kingdom didn't get destroyed at that time. They lasted another 250 years. 500 years is a long time. They weren't destroyed at this time. Under Hezekiah, they still were able to stand tall against this Assyrian threat. But I want you to see two things clearly this morning with me. And there are two things that the Lord has really been showing me through this passage. First of all, even the godly, the most righteous, those who give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ and do not turn from the left or the right, but stay on that path with the Lord all their life, even those godly men and women will come across evil in their lifetime. They will deal with trials and tribulations. They will deal with staring death in the face. Just as the 23rd Psalm says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the righteous walk through that valley just as well as those who are not righteous. The other thing I want you to see is that even though the righteous do have to go through these trials and tribulations, God is in control. He's not left his throne. He hasn't turned his back. Let's look at these one at a time. First of all, King Hezekiah did everything right. And there are some who have this theology, this belief about God, that if they will only follow God right, they'll never experience pain. It's something I, as a pastor, see quite a bit. Someone comes to me and says, I'm suffering. I'm going through a very difficult time. I don't understand this. I love God. Why would I have to go through this? Over and over, you see people who love the Lord, spend their life serving Him. Difficulties come across their life. They wonder, Lord, why? I've cried the same thing out. Lord, why? Why are we going through this turmoil? We're serving You. I always go back to this passage whenever I go through any of those time periods. And believe me, they come quite often. Hezekiah couldn't have been more of a godly man. If you understand who his father was, his father was such a wicked man that not only did he not follow the Lord, not only did he not lead the people to follow the Lord, but his father decided that since Assyria and Aram were large kingdoms that were coming down and taking his kingdom, then he should worship their gods. And he went up, the scripture tells us, to Damascus and saw an altar that was built there to one of their gods and sent word to his own priests to build an altar just like it in the temple of the living God. And instead of being in Solomon's temple, worshiping the Lord, no, that king was worshiping foreign gods and took all of the items that were used to worship the living God and put them to the side. Didn't completely get rid of them. In fact, said, look, I'm going to keep that bronze altar because sometimes I'll consult the living God too. This man was extremely wicked. The scripture tells us that he even sacrificed his own sons in the fire. Hezekiah comes up with this man as his dad. What does Hezekiah do? Does he follow in his dad's footsteps? No, he rejects everything his father stood for. And the first things he did when he took power is he cleansed the whole land of Judah of all the foreign idols. He broke down all the high places, the scripture says, all the foreign altars. And he led the people to worship the Lord. A revival broke out in the land. He reestablished the temple. He reestablished the priests that were to minister to the Lord before the temple. And he started a revival. They started worshiping, doing the Sabbath, doing the Passover worship that had not been done in years. Godly, godly man. Scripture tells us in 2 Kings verse 18, chapter 18, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David, his forefather, had done. He removed the high places, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. He broke into pieces the bronze snake that Moses had made. Go to the next slide. It says, Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord and did not cease to follow him. He kept the commands of the Lord that had been given to Moses, and the Lord was with him. He was successful in whatever he undertook. Now, wouldn't you think that because he was so godly, because he was leading the people to worship the Lord, that nothing would ever go wrong? That God would just send blessings? I mean, there's churches out here that preach stuff like that. God will bless you and you'll never see any problems. call it the prosperity gospel. Really? I don't know that there have been many men that followed the Lord more closely than Hezekiah, and he didn't even have the Holy Spirit leading him. And yet, his life wasn't everything easy and roses. He did everything right. He led others to the Lord. In 2 Chronicles, it says, he encouraged them with these words, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him, for there is a greater power with us than with him. With him is only the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and fight our battles." And the people gained confidence from what Hezekiah, king of Judah, said. Wouldn't you like this guy to be around you? Wouldn't you like to have a good friend like this? When you falter in your faith, when you can't see the hand of God moving because all you can see is the enemy approaching, wouldn't you love for your good friend to say, "Don't fear. He who is with us is greater than he who is with them. The arm of the Lord is at your side." I mean, think about this guy. You would think the scripture would then say, after all Hezekiah had done, the Lord made his life easy. But you see, that's not the Lord's plan for your life or my life. Being a believer doesn't mean that God is then going to give you an easy life. Being a believer means that no matter what comes across in your life, the Lord gives you strength to make it through it so that you, by your faithful walk with Christ, point people to His strength. Even the godly experience pain and tribulation. Hezekiah still experienced pain. We find in 2 Chronicles, chapter 32. This is one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. I know I'm a little strange. But out of all the Bible, one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible is this. After all that Hezekiah had so faithfully done, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and invaded Judah. Anybody who ever preaches a health and wealth gospel to me, anybody who ever preaches a prosperity gospel, just come to Jesus and life is easy. Just come to Jesus and you'll have more money than you know what to do with, and he'll give you cars and he'll give you good health and all those things. I bring them to this verse. This is scripture. After all that King Hezekiah had so faithfully done, Sennacherib came. And boy, did he come. And when Sennacherib came, he actually came and took over all of Judah with the exception of the capital city of Jerusalem. His first wave down into the land of Judah was to take every city except Jerusalem. And so Hezekiah wakes up, and all he's got left is the city that he's in. Surrounded by a wall, he's put fortifications, he's gotten prepared, but this is all that's left. And all Sennacherib has to do now is come with his vast army. We know he has at least 185,000. Come with his vast army, surround Jerusalem, and just wait it out. We see in other places in the Kings and Chronicles, we find when Jerusalem was under siege and people died of starvation. It happened several times. So Hezekiah's got to know this is coming. Sennacherib, the Assyrian kings, nobody stops these guys. They were, to put it in a modern term, they were the Hitler army of the time. They were the Nazis taking over the world. They were the Alexander Great of their age. The Assyrians and then the Babylonians were the greatest kingdoms the earth had ever seen. And they were coming for Hezekiah. So, what has Hezekiah got to remember? He's got to remember that even the godly experience pain, but God is still in control. God is in control. We find in 2 Kings chapter 19, we find Hezekiah, what he did. Did he freak out? Did he run? Did he try to find other kingdoms that would fight on his behalf? Scripture tells us what he did. It says in verse 14, Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it. Then he went up to the temple of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord, and Hezekiah prayed to the Lord. O Lord, God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. When you are going through the worst trial that you can think of, when Sennacherib is at your door, what's your response? Do you remember to go before the Lord? I love how he took this letter that the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, had sent him. And he took the letter, and it must have been multiple pages, because it says he spread it out before the Lord. He went before the Lord. He went into the temple, and he went and spread those pages out, as if the Lord wouldn't be able to read them otherwise. Lord, look, here are the pages he sent. Here is what he is saying against you. But Lord, you are the great God Almighty. You are the maker of heaven and earth. You are enthroned between the cherubim. The angels surround your throne and worship you, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. You are the only one, Lord. You are on your throne. Do you remember that? God is in control. He is king. God is in control. He is the only king. I love this. Sennacherib is bragging. And he is telling Hezekiah and anybody in Jerusalem that'll listen, why are you listening to your God? Why are you listening to Hezekiah when he says your God is telling you these things? Why are you listening to them? They are saying, don't worry, but trust in the Lord. Don't you know the other people that I've invaded said the same thing about their God? Don't you know that the gods of all these other lands couldn't stand up against my power? The king of Assyria is telling the people, you don't have a God who can stand up against my might. Give up. Isn't that what Satan tells you every time that trouble comes? You don't worship a God that's big enough to handle what I've got for you. That fear, feel the fear creeping into your bones. There's nothing you can do about it. Think about the future that's going to destroy you. There's nothing you can do about it. That's what Satan whispers in your ear. Old Sennacherib, all these other gods haven't been able to stand up against me. Why would yours be any different? But you see, Hezekiah knows better. He says, Lord, you are the only one. Here's what he says to the Lord in 2 Kings 19, verse 17. It is true, O Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste these nations and their lands. They have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them. For their gods were not gods, but only wood and stone fashioned by men's hands. Now, O Lord, our God, deliver us from his hand, so that all kingdoms on earth may know that you alone, O Lord, are God. The Lord is king, and he's the only king. If you put your trust in your money, you wouldn't be coming to this church, because nobody here has any money. So you know better than that. If you put your trust in people, if you put your trust in your abilities or the abilities of those around you, if you put your trust in anything but the Lord, that is a God that will not stand against Sennacherib. His forces will overwhelm you. Who can you trust? The God, the King, the only one, the one who is enthroned between the cherubim, the one who created heaven and earth, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the Creator. and is the Redeemer. He is an absolute king, totally in control. In fact, I love how the Lord answers Hezekiah and speaks to Sennacherib. I love the way the Lord speaks to him. He says, in essence, Sennacherib, Assyrian king, you've been blaspheming against me. I've heard it. You've been bragging about how you've taken over all these other lands. I've heard that too. You're mighty full of yourself, aren't you? But here's what he says. Have you not heard? Long ago, I ordained it. In days of old, I planned it. Now I have brought it to pass. What's God saying? He's saying, Assyrian king, you really think you're the one that did all this? No. I set this up for you to come to power and be able to do these things. Why? Because my people had sinned, and you are the way they have been cleansed. It's a hard, hard scripture to put your mind around. But you can go read Isaiah and see how often God says these things. Later, he says King Cyrus is going to come about hundreds of years before Cyrus became king. He says, King Cyrus, I have given you this power. He tells Sennacherib, I'm the one that planned all this. You haven't done any of it. I haven't been asleep. I haven't been looking away. You know what? This great, mighty God is the only king. He is the king that has the last word. He is the king who is in control. And Hezekiah knew that. And Hezekiah led the people to trust this great king. Go to the next slide. The Lord tells Sennacherib, you're going down. I'm going to make you turn around and go back the way you came. And that's exactly what happened. We find out from the scripture one of the most amazing miracles in all of the scripture. That night, the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 in the Assyrian camp. Don't know how big their army was. We know it had at least 185,000. And we know after that 185,000 was gone, the Assyrian army wasn't going to be able to do anything. And not only that, but Sennacherib goes back home with his tail between his legs and is murdered by his own sons. What do you think the people of Judah did? What do you think their relief felt like? In your life, when you have faced overwhelming odds and the Lord has rescued you, what did it feel like? What will it feel like next time? I bet Hezekiah felt the same way. This is a great reminder, this passage of Scripture. I tell you what, I go to this passage all the time. And I've experienced some great giant Assyrian kings in my life. Some Babylonian ones too. And I've learned what it means that God is in control. That He is the only one I can turn to, and He is the one I should turn to first. That the Lord is not missing. Remember, we looked at Elijah a couple weeks ago on the mountaintop when the prophets of Baal had a showdown with Elijah, and Elijah's telling them, yell louder, maybe your God's asleep. Maybe He can't hear you. Maybe He stepped out for a while. Maybe He's relieving Himself. Our God has not stepped out. The Lord of all the earth has not turned His back. We do, though. We turn from Him. We forget His great mercy. So what do you do when you face trials and tribulations? First of all, know you're not alone. even the most godly experience pain. In fact, one of the things I've learned over the years, and I suggest that you do this in your own walk, is you get to know those that you see walking a godly walk. The Apostle Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And so when I became a believer, I read that and said, I need to find somebody who's following Christ in this way so that I can follow them and know their example. And so as I got to know people who had this deep walk with Christ, I got to walk with them through some serious, difficult times. The man who discipled me, while he was discipling me, his wife became sick, and within a month she died. He was 43. They didn't see it coming. And I got to be there and watch how the Lord gave him what he needed to get through that time. I got to walk with him and even got to minister to him with the power that Christ gives. And I learned how to trust God more and more. No, you're not alone. Worst thing that Satan does to a believer is convince them that they're the only one that's ever gone through this. And then know that God is in control. He's on his throne. He hasn't left it. There is no other God. He is the true God, and he has the final say. Have you given your life to him? Do you know this great God? Do you know the plan that he has for mankind? That although we sinned against him from birth, we were born into the sin of Adam, although our hearts do not choose him, but are wicked to the core, he's forgiven us through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. Have you been forgiven? Have you received the mercy and grace that came through Christ himself? God himself in the flesh, living as man, never sinning, and becoming a sinless sacrifice for you and I? Do you know that? Do you trust that? Will you go to the Lord with me in prayer?